You're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. Time now for Out of the Box. I'm your host, Dave Giroux, and I've got a new co-host today. Don Jewell will be here for an hour, and Jonathan Jay will be in at about 5 o'clock.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right. Okay, well, we're going to start the show off right away. We've got a guest calling in, and it is Mason Chalk. He is the newest county council person, just named to the post here a few weeks ago, and he is on the line, and we're going to go to him and talk with him for a little bit. So hang on. Hello? Mason, you there?
Hey, aloha.
Hey,
aloha,
pretty good.
How are you?
Can you hear me all right?
I do, yes.
Okay. You might need to speak up just a little bit there. There's a little interference on the line, but you're coming through okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, and welcome to the show. And welcome to the County Council.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. So you are the newest council person, and how does that feel?
Well, at times overwhelming. But I've been learning so much that it's been insightful. I guess that's a good word.
Oh, great. Maybe for some of our listeners who don't know of you much anyway, maybe you can just give a little background on, you know, where you're from, how long you've been here, what, you know, your family, things like that, your background, whatever.
You know, I am born and raised here on Kauai and have generations of family members connected to Kauai. I don't know if you want to hear too much about that, but
You got a few minutes. You got some time.
Yeah, I got a few minutes. my parents are actually originally from Oahu, both grown up on Oahu, graduates of Kamehameha School, but have family ties to Kauai, Fernandez family, Cummings family on my mother's side, and the Chalk family that started out in Hanalei. And as far back as the Hawaiian side goes, it goes back to some chiefs of Maui, Wali, that were connected and married to Pukona, a chief from Kauai. And on the other side there, some family members from Kau, the Big Island, the Ka'ana'ana families. So that's a little bit about my ancestors. I was born and raised here. Grew up on the south shore of Kauai. My father was a chef at the time, Waialae High Hotel and Poipu Beach Hotel. So I loved growing on the South Shore, growing up on the South Shore. Had some time to live on the East Shore growing up as well. He moved to Coco Palms and went to Kamehameha Schools, graduated from there and from the University of Hawaii at Manoa in business, and had a family at a young age, so I moved here right out of college, and was a firefighter, like most Kamehameha graduates are. And did that for about 12 years before I retired through service-connected disability retirement. I hurt my back in a helicopter crash, and it sort of led me in a different direction of service that I was happy to, not initially happy to go towards, but it led me towards starting doing some work at Waipaua. Waipaua Foundation, working with classmates of mine, and we built a challenge ropes course. A few friends of ours, our department, and which led to leadership development. And I was the executive director of Leadership Kauai for about 4.5 years, and left that to kind of expand the ideas of leadership development. And this is what brought me to this current place. So I'd say that the bulk of my work and what I'm focused on in life is in leadership development. I don't think it's changed in taking on this new role. The for-profit company, Kupuae, which means to grow towards the light, is in partnership with Leadership Kauai and other partners around the state. And basically, we're focused on looking at socioeconomic change, positive change, and we're focused on business, government, and education. And so I've been working primarily in the educational field. But if you know anything about the nonprofit leadership, Koi, what we do is try to engage a diverse cross-section of the community annually, emerging leaders, with try to bridge some ideas and have them vet their beliefs and hopefully move Kauai in a direction of shared beliefs and lifestyle that we can all invest in. So when this opportunity came up, which I was asked to take part in, I thought of it not only as an expansion or extension of my service, but also an opportunity to learn more about the systems of which we're trying to make a difference in, and that's what guided me to it.
Well, you got some deep roots here then. What part of the island do you live on?
Yeah, I live in Wailua Homestead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did you run for county council last time, last election? Is that right?
No.
Did you ever run?
I have never.
Oh, okay. I thought you had run once.
No, never have. And actually, I've been pretty much afraid of government in running for an office such as this.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm sure you know what I mean. And most people, they're like, what are you doing? Why did you do that for? And I said, yeah, there's some crazy in me. But, one thing that I learned in working in our educational system and actually going into the classrooms and seeing the conditions and the great things that are happening and the things that are lacking, the gaps we need to fill, that wouldn't have happened unless I, was in the trenches. And I feel like this is part of the process, is that you can only learn when you put yourself and immerse yourself into it. So that's what I'm doing. But it's not an easy decision to make. The other reason why, I've taken the initiative to do so is, leadership development is sort of, I don't know, at least the term leadership is misunderstood. And I like to focus on what the next era of leadership development is. And one of the primary principles that I like to live by is that it's everyone's responsibility. It's all of our kuleana. So, in order to do that, I got to expand the work to make sure that I'm including everyone and that I'm talking to, not just the up and coming, or some people would say the right people to include. It's given me the opportunity in this position to actually stand behind some of the beliefs that I have. Because you can talk about leadership a lot, but unless you're really acting in it, and this is the best way you can act on it, but to publicly voice what it is that you believe in and why, it's to another level, I think, of me standing behind my word.
Right. So when the position at county council came up, you applied for it then? Were you named or appointed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was nominated. I was asked to submit my name. Of course, it was a very intense time for the island and possibly the county. I somewhat reluctantly put my name in there in the pot. I was so glad that at the day of a council gathering for the meeting, that there are 18 applicants or 18 people who are nominated, and I was appointed. So there was a decision by the county council, the six members, to appoint me.
Right. Well, you seem to have a lot of the experience that is necessary in that position. So it seems to be a good fit so far.
I'd say yes, from a community standpoint. I mean, my work has been deep rooted into the community. And so there's that aspect I strongly support. However, the ins and outs, the little nitty-gritty details are things that I'm learning about. And, the system, I always said that I didn't want to go into government because I thought that I'd be able to make more change from the outside in. And here I am just trying to learn what I can about what's happening in the details. So it's been really, I don't know, I've grown a lot, is what I can say, in just a month being there.
Right. Well, you've certainly been thrown in the middle of a big storm there when you first got in. But what are some of your thoughts about having been there a month? What are some of the things that jump out at you as to maybe you were surprised about?
I don't know if so much surprise, but validating. And I was contracted to assist some of the internal workings of the council. And I only had a chance once to meet with him for a few hours, but it was about their relationships. And I think that this is something that's lacking in every organization, business, or any group, is that we just don't spend enough time to do that kind of stuff, or we're trying to understand each other better in order to serve. And I'm not advocating that we all have to be on the same page in terms of our beliefs here, but that we'll work towards the best outcomes that we can for the community. And so I've seen a lot of those dynamics show up in on the floor in our, and we've got great leadership, with Chair Fufaro. But these are years of relationships built on each other, and people know each other very well and what they stand for and so forth. And so those things can be utilized in a specific system structure that we have. My hope is that, we can, at the very least, we can come together as an internal governing system or body at the council to support each other towards the community, the island, what that vision is for the community. I've learned a lot about the competencies and maybe the incompetencies areas of county. And, I'm pretty committed to what I'm doing right now, which is leadership development in the context that I'm in. My hope is that I can help to strengthen our departments, and I've got a few ideas and hopes that I can institute that might move the needle forward so that not only are we empowering our county workers and, staff, but also opening up the doors for community engagement, where community can take more role and responsibility in the process as well. Because I just see that as the growing need in the future. I just don't think that we can count on government to do everything, and we shouldn't. And that if the idea is that everyone's kuleana, that we open up areas for people to participate in it, more hands-on.
Right. Well, that kind of leads into my next question. What do you think? You have any ideas for improvements of the systems here that you're bringing to the table at this point? Things that can work better on the council, or
sure.
Things that the government can do better?
Yeah, I wouldn't say just specifically the council. I'd say just across the board, and this wouldn't be any different from any other organization. But the idea of face to face, truth telling, being able to speak to each other openly instead of having, say for instance, one of the things that I think holds the council body, our body back, is that, some of the details of the Sunshine Law that disables us from really just making some decisions. How we make decisions is really important. The process that we're taking on. We can't have those discussions. It goes against our rules. The culture, I think, is huge. If we're wanting to shift culture in the county, then we've really got to go back to what drives people towards what they're doing. And oftentimes, in every context, people lose sight of what that is. Right. What am I doing this for? And what motivates me to contribute and serve? And those are the things I think can be done if we create the space and time for it. And I call it stuff because we've invested in so much stuff in the details of doing every day that we've forgotten what the things that are most important oftentimes.
Right. Now, you mentioned the Sunshine Law. Now, that was put in place to make decision-making on the part of our government an open process so that everybody knows, everybody has access to the same information, and there's not a lot of, backdoor lobbying going on. But how do you think that could be improved or strengthened to open the dialogue amongst the council persons then?
Well, don't get me wrong. I value some guidelines so that there is transparency. That's the most important thing, is that we could have so transparent that every single thing was just in front. Unfortunately, we're in a system of litigation and liability, and so it's laws that we're working with, and those things are what hinder us from having conversations, for instance, about resolving. One of our largest bills in the county's litigation, and so how do we and we've got to think creatively and outside of the box on how it is we can mediate some of these things so it doesn't end up costing us so much money, because it's just a drain. And that's part of what it leads to. I'm not saying that the actual rules there stated drive it, you know, or stated that way, but they end up driving us in a direction.
Well, why is there so much litigation against the county? I mean, maybe, you know, you haven't been there long enough to really see all the cases, but do you have a feel for why it is that it always ends up in court? All of
these
issues?
Well, I mean, I think it's no different from any other situation, except that in any other company, you know, when there's a conflict, then it usually goes to court nowadays, and that's just the system we've built, and it's fear based, and once it takes a step in one direction, it's a trend that we're seeing in government where it leads to a closed door, and then it just gets worked out between lawyers. And so, I mean, it leads back to, you know, to answer your question, it leads back to developing opportunities where we can have, again, face-to-face conversations that where we can ho'oponopono a little bit and seek another alternative to just, you know, going straight to closing the door.
Right. Now, one of the lawsuits, and again, if you just haven't been there long enough and you don't know, that's fine. I mean, just let me know. But, you know, one of the lawsuits, the newest one here, is from the county auditor. Now, they created an auditor position, and he evidently found some stuff, and they didn't want him to report it. And so, I don't know, was he fired? Was Passion fired, or was he just...
No, he was not. You know, I don't know if I can even talk about this stuff, because it's really...
Well, but if you can talk about maybe the facts that led up to it, because that's public. This is a public process. Sure. It should be, anyway.
Sure. And I'm not sure exactly what's been released or not, but I know that that there was no firing involved. To answer your question, I would say that we don't know all the facts until we're right in the middle of it. I mean, we never do really until it gets vetted in court. And it's brought out, and even then, sometimes things are not always on the table.
Yeah, unfortunately, then the lawyers and the judges have all the power in the society.
That's right.
And you know, it's been taken away from us then. Now, I'm not sure how much time you have. Originally, you said you had maybe half an hour or something like that, but I'd like to open up the phone lines to some questions from the listeners, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, I think it's 4:20. I'm just looking at my watch right now. I got a 4:30 meeting that I know I can't miss. So
okay.
Is that enough time for like 10 minutes?
Well, I mean, we're here for whatever you got, but inform the listeners, then the phone lines are open now. If anybody has questions of Mason Chalk, our newest county council person, then 826-7771, and feel free to give a call in. Let's see. So one of the things that now you were just immediately thrown into the big GMO debate when you were hired.
Did you say immediately?
Immediately.
Oh, immediately. Okay.
Right away. You had the very next day, your vote was critical to passing of the GMO bill. Now, did that come up in discussion when they were interviewing you for the position? Did they ask how you felt on that vote?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, I guess.
In fact, the truth is, I didn't have an interview.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay.
No, I submitted my resume, as everyone else did, and that was it.
So nobody really knew how you would vote on that.
Not to my knowledge.
You had no public statements about it. You didn't.
No, I was pretty quiet. I'm a pretty quiet guy. I talk a lot, you know, because part of my job, but I'm pretty introverted, and I usually just, you know, that's why I've taken this opportunity to kind of expand on it. But
and I have a question about that. This is Dawn Jewell. I'm sitting in until Jonathan Jay gets here. About the GMO issue, is that something that you had followed for a long time here on Kauai, or did you come up to speed relatively quickly?
No, I had been following it pretty quickly because of acquaintances, interests, family members, you know. So, I mean, I don't know who couldn't really turn away from it. I tend to track what's happening on Kauai pretty closely, you know, by nature of the work I do. So, does that answer your question?
So, yeah. You were up on the bill. You knew what it was all about before you even sat down. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, it's interesting.
And I had reviewed all the, you know, I've gone to some of the meetings, you know, listened. I had reviewed all of the you know, the takes.
Different versions of the bills and the,
and the, different
the testimony.
And I was, I don't know if I, if you heard of this, but, I mean, as soon as I was sworn in, you know, I quickly, I mean, I spent the whole night, you know, with, you know, getting briefed on it from the inside out, and what was happening. So,
right. I mean, I know a lot of people on the other side of the issue cried foul that they picked you only because you were going to vote for it, and it seems suspicious. But to you're saying that, you know, there was no discussion of that beforehand, and you didn't indicate how you weren't picked for that reason.
Yeah, as far as I know, I mean, maybe they made some assumptions on it, but as far as I know, I don't know how they could have, you know, I never told anybody this is how I'm going to vote on it. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Now, what do you think is, say, the most important issues facing Kauai now then that... you know, no calls from the outside yet, but the phone lines are open, 826-7771, if you'd like to pose a question to Mason Chalk. But, you know, what do you see as the big issues coming up? And
oh, man, where do I start? You know, but really, I mean, I got to say that at least from my perspective, it's about people and it's about relationships. And that's where I would start, and that's where I'm going to continue to focus. If you're talking about the stuff, I mean, there are some huge issues coming up with us trying to find, you know, the budget for fulfilling our landfill needs. We want to move forward on boy, in just about every department that, you know, there's great plans set, and now we need to go out and figure out how we're going to get them funded, you know, with our solid waste division, you know, our the MRF that we're wanting to get moved forward on. I mean, if you talk to Joanne, there's huge transportation needs we want to take look at now for the future. Endless. But again, for me, it's really about wanting to work on culture, wanting to include, open up government a little bit more and find opportunities for more collaboration to occur with. I mean, the outcome of something like 2.91 is so great because people came out for it, and that's what we need. We need active, you know, we need an active community to participate in this. This is the only way this stuff works. Now, could we have done it better? Absolutely. I mean, there are so many lessons learned from that process that I would have liked to have seen done differently, but we only learn if we go and do it, you know, and that's a philosophy I have. So my hope is we continue to open that space up for it to occur and include people.
Right. Now, has the environmental and public health impact statement or impact the study, has that been passed yet? Is it the resolution to hire a consultant to do that? Has that been passed yet?
Well, the APHIS, you're talking about the APHIS?
Right,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, it has been passed.
By the council or by the committee?
By the council.
Okay, good.
Yeah, by the council. And I believe that there may be a reconsideration coming up, but you know, we'll have to look at the agenda, the next coming agenda.
What is the reconsideration?
I know that there was one council member who was wanting to reconsider just some verbiage.
Oh, I see. Okay.
On the resolution. So,
but that is moving forward.
That is moving forward. I know that I can tell you that on the administrative side, they are also working on the rules, the administrative rules, to govern the Ordinance 960, which is, you know, an outcome of 2491. And so people are paying attention to it. I mean, we've just started, you know, that was just the first step in really figuring out what do we need to focus on and how are we going to accomplish, you know, taking care of this law, not to mention defining, you know, roles between the state and the county. I think one of the big outcomes of 2491 is that there's a big enough cry from the community saying, hey, you know what, we demand to hear and figure out whose jurisdiction this is. And at the very least, that's what this bill has done.
Right. Well, looks like we've got a call. Maybe if we had time for one call.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Let's see. Somebody on the phone there. They want to go on the air? Sorry. Well, hopefully we'll get to that very, very quickly.
No worries. And, that, you know, people, I mean, I'm here to serve, so if people are interested in talking to me or email me, you know, you can email me.
Okay. You have a, well, that would just be at the council, and that's available on our website?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we do have a caller here. Let's go to the phones. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Aloha. Whenever I hear politicians talking, or and I'm not saying that the gentleman is a politician yet, but he's speaking for the government, and they are always trying to raise funds, and yet we have multi-billion dollar chemical corporations that are damaging the land, and I don't know that anybody sees the benefit of them being here yet. It seems like most companies earn their keep. They either pay their taxes or, you know, something, some kind of money transaction happens, and it seems like they're just here damaging and not paying anything. And, and I think that should be addressed, and I'm going to take it off the air.
So, you know, I'm sorry, there's another call coming in, so you got cut off a little bit. Can you repeat the specific question?
The question is, why don't we look to the chemical ag companies that are working on this island for, I think, almost free? I mean, according to their income, it's just peanuts that, that the chemical companies are putting back into the community. And it seems like when politicians talk about needing to raise funds to cover community needs in order to compensate, especially for the damages done by these people, there needs to be some discussion about how much these people are paying and our corporations are paying. And
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think that that's where.
And I guess that's states making the laws, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, but that's what I'm saying. I think that what you're seeing here is a shift of you know what they're calling homeland rule. Is like, hey, can we have some say in how it is our island is being, you know, mitigated, and do we have some way to ensure not only the safety, but that the businesses are making good decisions, part of the community. Not saying that they're not. I'm just saying we should have some.
We have people here at the discretion of the state that that nobody wants here except for the government, and it seems like the people have no voice in any of this. You know, I believe that the chemical companies, 13 years ago when they came over, brought most of their workers. And so when they show up and say, we're residents of Hawaii, of course they are. They came 13 years ago with companies. They already knew all their ABCs. They didn't have to learn anything. They could just jump right in and work.
Okay, caller, let Mason answer that, because he's got to go in a minute, so we'll let her take that off you. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, hello?
Yep, you're still there.
Hi. Yeah, so, hi. I mean, I don't know, the caller's going into a lot of different details about, you know, what has transpired. I'm thinking about solutions and what do we do to move forward from any, you know, source of sustainability. And but we got to be able to do that, you know, the right way. And that's always been, you know, the issue with business and big business. And so, but do I agree with what she has to say? Absolutely. I think we all need to be contributing in a large way. And if that's financially from these big corporations, then we should be looking at ways to ensure that that happens. How? Hey, let me know what your ideas are, you know. I'm here for 10 months. I can help, and I'm willing to, so.
If you just tuned in, this is KKCR Kauai Community Radio. You're tuned to Out of the Box with your host, Dave Giroux. We're waiting for Jonathan Jay, who's delayed today. This is Dawn Jules sitting in just for a few more minutes, and we've been talking to Mason Chalk, our latest Kauai County Council member, who's on the line with us.
Okay, I know you've got to go in a minute here.
Yeah,
sorry. Maybe some closing remarks, or you know, do you plan on running for the seat next time? Is it too early to tell?
You know, it's a great question. I haven't made a decision. You know, I went to a public meeting I was invited to talk, and someone in the audience said, asked me the same question. I said, I don't know at this time because I haven't made a decision. And they said, well, why are you here? Like, why are you talking to us, right? And I said, well, because I will do it no matter what. Because really, it doesn't matter what seat I'm in this community, my work is the same. So if I can make a big difference in the seat that I'm sitting in, and I feel like I'm contributing, I would consider staying. Too early for me to tell.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in. Do we have another question?
They just had one comment. They said one of the solutions could be taxing the large corporations that are doing the damage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Enforcing it with taxes.
In order to pay for, like, the study or the regulations that have been implemented?
That, and to help compensate for some of the damage.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those things probably need to be determined in terms of damage. I mean, that's really where we're headed, right? But no, I mean, suggestion taken. I've got it written down right here, right now. Hold on, and we'll follow up on it in terms of what can be done. But I think it does come to jurisdiction, you know, in terms of the state and the county. I hope I can have some answers for that continuing question.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in. I know you've got a meeting then. Maybe one of these days we get you in the studio here and spend a little more time with you.
Yeah, right on. Thanks for the time, too.
All right, well, good luck with the work on the council, and thanks for the good work so far.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha. Gonna take a quick break here. Hear a little Marshall Tucker in the background here. Marshall Tucker's playing tonight at the Kauai Beach Resort in probably a couple of hours then. Hit the road again. Well, I don't want you to think that you're the first one. Leave me out here on my own. Cause this ain't gonna be the first time this old cowboy spent the night alone. A bigger fool I can't remember when I've been. Just to open up my heart and let you walk right in. But there's one thing in life that ain't hard for me to do. That's as soon as I kiss the lips of another woman, I'm gonna forget all about you. So I don't want you to think that you're the first one. Leave me out here on my own. Cause this ain't gonna be the first time this old cowboy spent the night alone. Thank you. All right, that's the Marshall Tucker Band. Okay, Out of the Box Show is back, and Jonathan Jay is in the studio here.
Hey, aloha, everybody.
Psst, Jonathan. Psst, what? It's time for you to be on the show.
I'm going to come in late today.
He is late. Okay, let's see. Phone lines are open, 826-7771, if you want to call and talk about anything you want, for that matter. One thing I didn't mention at the top of the hour, it's January 9th, the first show that I've been on of the new year, 2014.
Ha'oli makahiki ho.
Yes, to you too. And also I'd like to give a shout-out to a buddy of mine who just passed last week, John Lee. He's no longer with us, but he's in a better place, hopefully.
Is that your friend, the carpenter?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad to hear.
Yeah, yeah. He had a long bout with cancer and ended up on the short end of the stick there, so he's no longer with us.
But, well, hopefully he's in a better place.
Yeah. So, anyway, so how you been, Jonathan?
Pretty good. New Year's starting off well enough.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I missed the last show. I was over in Portland.
How was that?
It was cold. Well, it was 40 degrees, but it felt like 40 below to me because I'm just not used to those temperatures anymore.
That's pretty
cold. It's not like Chicago where, what do you say, 40 below?
Yeah, I just picked up my girlfriend. She came in from the airport, and it was like 40 below with a wind chill factor. And
oh, that's crazy.
You could throw hot water up in the air, and it would freeze before it hit the ground. Crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
We have a caller that would like to call in. Oh,
we have a caller.
A caller?
Wow.
Hey, that's an idea.
Yeah. What a concept. Let's go to the phones.
Hello, our caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Hey, what's up, Jonathan G?
Hey, how's it?
I'm going to vote for you when you want to change the sport.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I want to make a comment about our Tuesday show. On Tunisia?
Yeah.
I'm listening to her on Tuesday. That guy shouldn't be on the show again.
Which guy? The preacher guy?
Two guy.
Which guy? Which guy?
The Tunisia guy.
Yeah, he made a little mistake, didn't he?
Made a big mistake. He should have thought about the Pope.
Yeah, that was his words were not very well thought out.
Yeah, the thing is, what about talk about his mom? Freedom of speech, right? You want to talk about bad things about his mom? But the Pope is something different. The Pope is something for respect. Get a call, man.
Yeah, I think his words were an error of judgment. A caller called in afterwards, and Felicia apologized. Completely for that.
The guy shouldn't be back on it. Maybe he's the top because he's a jiu-jitsu guy, but he's nothing. You shouldn't talk about that, about the Pope. Yeah, I'm a Catholic guy, but I don't go to church all the time. Don't talk about that guy like that. You know what I mean?
Sure. Understandable.
Okay, thank you, Dr. J.
All right, hey, aloha.
Thank you.
Oh, I missed that part, but you can tell me off the air what happened there.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, so we're in a new year. Actually, Dawn has some information she wants to impart to our listeners regarding the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting because a lot of people don't have insurance, and this is an opportunity for people to get some if they can figure out their way through the
affectionately
maze.
Affectionately referred to as Obamacare.
Right.
Well, or maybe not so affectionately.
There's a website, the Hawaii Health Connector. And actually, the Affordable Health Care Act provided a grant to, they've hired some folks here on Kauai that are available to answer your questions and to help meet with you and actually help you get signed up to see what type of health insurance you're eligible for. And tomorrow, if you need health insurance.
Or if you'd like it.
Or if you would like health insurance, Friday, January 10th from 8 to 11 a.m. at the Hanalei Community Center, the Hawaii Health Connector is going to have a representative there, Robin Pedersen, to help you sign up or answer your questions or to clarify your eligibility. If you have questions and want to call, you can call Ho'o Lahui Hawaii at 240-0160.
And what's that number again?
It's 808-240-0160. That's Ho'o Lahui Hawaii. That's the local community health center here on Kauai. And
we'll give that number again before we depart from this topic because people don't always have their pen and their paper ready.
So there's a North Shore rep, there's an East Side person, and I think probably somebody else for the South and West Shores. But the main central number, again, is 808-240-0160. And you can call Ho'olohui Hawaii, and then when you tell them where you live, they'll give you the cell phone number of the representative that can answer your questions and then meet with you if you'd like to sign up for health insurance. But again, tomorrow in Hanalei, you can come and sign up or ask questions at the Hanalei Community Center from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Regarding health insurance.
So this is for people who don't want to try to navigate their website. I assume they got that up and working now. I mean, obviously it was all busted when it first started, but I'm hoping they got it working now.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've heard there's a lot of bugs, but I actually took advantage of this and I learned some interesting things.
So you got health insurance through this hotline?
I am in the process of just researching my options.
Now, why did you think this was important to bring up here today?
Well, I mainly think this is important to bring up because I think this is a brand new program, the Affordable Health Care Act.
And the meeting's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's timely.
Well, and there's another aspect. Well, for one, I think a lot of people don't really know what they're eligible for, people that don't have health insurance. So, for example, I am not eligible for MedQuest because I make just a tad too much money, but I don't have health insurance through a job or a group plan. So the process I had to go through is I had to sign up for MedQuest. That's the state program for low-income folks, and then I have to wait for my denial letter, and then I have to use that to sign up for the affordable health care options.
So they make you jump through some hoops.
They make folks jump through hoops, and I'm still deciding what I want to do.
But it's important that people go to this clinic to help get some tools to navigate, because it's kind of like a wilderness out there trying to figure out what's up and what's down and how to move forward with getting some health care.
Not only that, but I'm not sure if folks realize what the penalties are for not having health insurance, which is also a brand new thing.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very good either.
Yeah, so the way I understand it is at the end of 2014, if you are not covered with health insurance for any quarter of the year, you, at the time that you do your taxes, you will have a penalty, and the penalty is going to start off at $95 for each adult for the year 2014.
So if you, in the year 2015, is that right? If you don't have health insurance, you're going to get penalized like $100.
Well, basically, the penalty for the year 2014, the year that we're in, is $95 for each adult and $47.50 for each child, but not more than $285 per family. Or the other way is they'll fine you 1% of your family income, and so they choose whichever of those percentages is higher.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, and then the penalty is going to steeply increase over the next 2 years. So in 2015, if you don't have health insurance for any quarter of 2015, at the end of the year, each adult is going to be charged $325 and $162 for each child, or 2% of your family income. And then in 2016...
it's going up even more?
It's going up to $695 for each adult and $347 for each child.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So I don't really know if people realize this. I didn't, which is why I got a copy of these fees. And I'm kind of curious if there's going to be an appeal to this, and if there's anything moving through the system to appeal any of this.
Oh, there's definitely stuff moving through the system, if you know what I'm saying. But it looks like we've got a call.
What do you think, Jonathan, about that, about having to pay a penalty for not getting, I mean, having to buy, you know, requiring you to buy health insurance?
Well, you know, I guess I'm of two minds about it. On the one hand, it doesn't seem right. You know, if you're healthy and don't need health insurance, then why should somebody make you pay to buy it? It seems like it's a gimme for the health insurance companies to mandate that you be a customer of theirs, even if you don't want to be.
Right.
But on the other hand, we have to have insurance for our car, and nobody's too upset about that. And I certainly care more about my body than I care about my car.
But you can, I guess, opt not to drive.
That's true.
So you don't have to buy insurance that way if you don't drive.
So if I don't drive, I don't have to get Obamacare?
If you don't breathe, you don't have to get Obamacare.
Ah, okay. So that, so I have options there, too.
Maybe so, yeah.
Huh, okay. But all seriousness aside.
I think part of the rationale there is, you know, they want to make sure that the young, healthy people sign up
sure.
to kick in money to pay for the sick people.
Sure, they want to have everybody
the
costs, in.
Spread
right.
the costs around.
And right. we have a caller that would like to comment on this topic.
Well, let's just bring him right on in then.
Yeah, oh, hi, this is Baba.
Aloha, and, Baba, you're on the air.
I've been listening to this, and, you know, the best thing to do is just not deal with the state, not deal with the government. Take care of yourself. Don't buy into this health care thing. It's a total joke. You're just paying for people who are going to be older than you and sicker than you, and you're just going to pay and pay and pay, and nobody's going to take care of you except you. And
well, what about...
The whole thing is a joke with the government. It really is a joke.
Well, you
there's
know
what? There's never going to be the Social Security. There's never going to be anything that they've promised people. And as soon as people wake up to that, they're going to do something different. But they're just not going to take care of you.
Well, I think the point that you're raising, caller, speaks to kind of a fundamental issue of our time, and that is where is society anymore? How do we care for one another? How are we going to get along as a people in a society? You know, those are sort of the big questions.
Well, I think first thing you do is you learn to take care of yourself, and then you help your friends and your neighbors, and you take care of one another. But if you're going to count on the government to take care of you, I mean, that's a joke. It's a joke. It's always been a joke, and it will get even more of a joke in the future.
So I'm thinking...
They're not going to take care of us.
I'm thinking from the way that you're describing it, you think it's a joke that's not too funny.
It's not a joke. It is a joke that's not too funny. I mean, they're just going to take money out of everybody's pocket to pay for this health care, and then they're going to just not take care of people in the future. Now they're going to fine people for not being part of this. I mean, if this is an extortion, I don't know what it is.
I'm kind of curious where those what happens to that fine money. What do they do with it? Where does it go?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Does it go exactly. to pay for health care for somebody?
I would hope so, but I don't know.
I don't know. All I'm saying is I think Obamacare is a big joke, and nobody should buy into it because you're going to get, what, you're going to get fined if you take part in it? That's ridiculous. I'm never going to take part in it. How are they ever going to come after me?
Well, maybe they're listening to the radio right now, and they're honing in on you with a drone.
Yeah, good. But, you know, hey, I
it's
just
not
think
funny,
the, more the more people that don't buy into their joke, then the sooner things will change.
All right, well, thank you for calling in and sharing your perspective.
You bet. Thanks for the show, you guys.
All right, aloha.
And what's the phone number to call?
826-777.
Oh, we didn't rehearse that very well, did we?
Wait.
Try it again.
One.
There we go.
826-777-1.
Okay, we're getting better.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm probably going to leave in a few minutes here, but now that Jonathan's here. But, you know, the other thing that I found as I researched this that I thought was very disappointing is that the premiums are still very high.
What does that mean?
And the deductibles are still very high.
And what does
so
that mean?
A premium is what you pay per month to receive health insurance. And the ones that I saw were still $300 a month.
So, I mean, pardon me, but I'm slow about this stuff. So a premium, that's how much it costs.
Mm-hmm. So like the insurance premium for your vehicle is, say, it's $30 a month. That's,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
now,
so that's how much it costs.
$300 a month then for your health care, and then there'd be some deductible in there?
And there's a huge deductible.
Now, what is a deductible?
So a deductible is the amount that you still have to pay out of pocket until your deductible is met, so say it's $1,000.
Is that what it is?
It's actually $5,000.
Oh, that's so is that good?
You pay $300 a month plus the first $5,000 of your health
care.
So
except that doesn't include preventative care. So if you're a healthy person and you just go and have your annual physicals every year, that cost for that visit and those tests will not go to the deductible. The deductible does not apply.
Is that good or bad?
Well, that there's at least preventative care that does not apply to the deductible is
so
good.
Does that, that means huge, they pay for it?
That there's a huge deductible, I think, is bad.
Okay, so but the huge deductible, what that means in the real world is if you get in an auto accident and you're really seriously banged up, you pay the first $5,000 of your medical expenses, but then after that you're covered.
Correct.
That's what a deductible is.
Correct.
Well, but they also, many of these programs are like 80-20, so where you would pay 20% of everything over 5,000, or, you know, 90-10, so you would only pay 10% of everything over 5,000.
What is this one?
I don't know
if
they
have copays.
Well, there's copays, yeah, when you go to a doctor, they try, give you 10 bucks, you know, they shake you down
what
for
I
10
saw
bucks every time, 12
looks
bucks.
Like for the programs that I saw, it was like $25 copays.
Yeah, that's steep. Mm. And then do you know how it's divided out, 80-20, 70-30, you know, after that, do you know?
I'm not sure. It
probably varies from plan to plan.
But basically, there's only two companies in the state of Hawaii that are participating. It's Kaiser and HMSA. And Kaiser doesn't have a clinic on this island.
Oh, that's not very convenient.
So there's not a lot of participating providers. Huh. That. So I know for me, I just was looking at the HMSA.
Well, I remember when they first rolled out this program, Mr. Obama got on air and says, "Hey, if I was a young guy and I could get insurance for $20 a month, I would do it."
And so, it's maybe still true.
Well, yeah, he probably
except
would.
Except you can't,
get it,
$20.
Get it for $20. You know,
I like to call him Barocco.
Barocco?
Yeah.
Now, there is one thing that is a positive thing that I learned, and that is that for people who have low income, they can apply for what is called, I believe, credits for the Hawaii Health Connector. And based on your income, it can lower your premium dramatically.
So then your premium is what it would cost
per month.
So it would it might go down from 300 to something lower.
It definitely would if you qualified for points based on income. So I think it's worth researching, even if in the end you choose not to participate.
Well, it sounds like the bottom line is it's a little bit confusing, and if there's going to be someone here to help you navigate through the maze, then that would be pretty helpful.
Right. So there's somebody to always help for the next 9 months. That's what the grant provided. Were five people hired through Ho'olohui Hawaii. And the number to call is 808-240-0160 during business hours. And then in addition to that, up here on the North Shore, tomorrow at the Hana Lake Community Center between 8 and 11, Robin, the North Shore rep for this program, is going to be there to help answer your questions and help you sign up and see what you're eligible for health insurance if you need health insurance.
So that's tomorrow on the North Shore, tomorrow morning.
Correct, at the Hanalei Community Center.
And one last time for people who are just now getting their pencil and paper ready. Yeah.
It is, if you'd like to call and find out if you have questions, the number to call is 808-240-0160.
All right. Thanks, Don, for the information on the Affordable Care Act. And
it's interesting to see how big government filters its way all the way down to the local level.
Right. Okay, we got a couple of calls. Let's go to the phones.
Aloha,
Aloha caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Hi, thanks. I'm not so much concerned about Obamacare. I think I'm past that, and I'm Medicaid, Medicare, and God knows what all else, and it's all been very good. But what concerned me was, and mind you, I'm an animal lover. I've had many animals throughout my life and love them dearly. When I saw the thing about the gates being ripped off from the homesteads dog park, or house livestock park, I'm not sure which one, but someone had ripped the gates off, and everybody in the world stepped up to pay for more gates and deliver more money for the dogs.
Is this the dog park that's up by the soccer fields and the Wailua homesteads?
So. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so somebody stole the gates, and folks on the administrative end of that got together and got it going.
Did they get a grant from the Gates Foundation?
Yeah, or whatever. They got it. They got it from from the Humane Society, essentially, whatever. But to put the gates back on, I mean, they just didn't put there the night before. But putting them back on, which is all very well and good.
Okay.
But
But here's the big but.
Yeah, it's the big but. if that had been a homeless person's gates, and that was all they had.
I think I see what you're saying.
Gates to keep the bad guys out, they wouldn't be getting anything.
Right. That's well, sometimes it seems
and,
like
I mean,
people love their pets more than they love other people.
They do, I know. I have a cat and I love her dearly. And but you know, you gotta take care. We've made too many people for the earth already. We should stop making more and start taking care of the ones we've got.
Yeah, so show a little love.
Baby boomers wanting your attention in the next 30 years and your money.
Okay. Hey, I got to do the top of the hour stuff. And
okay.
Any
you
other
understand
words?
My point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, caller. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Aloha. Okay, get another caller. Please hold the line there for just a minute. And I want to let you know that you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and K284AL in Haleiwa, Oahu. And this is the Out of Box Show, and it's made possible by listeners like you in partnership with these following underwriters.
These fine folks.
eCorp and Associates, providing personalized employee benefits and insurance solutions since 1988. A green company in an orange building. 808-245-5384. On the web at yeecorp.com.
Aya's Garden All-Natural Garden and Greenhouse Supply in Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Throw on those overalls and kick the city off your shoes for a bluegrass-style KKCR fundraiser. With very special bluegrass superstar pickers, Vince Herman and Drew Emmett from Leftover Salmon. Please join KKCR volunteers, staff, and Ohana for a New Year's kickoff fundraiser pick and party at Church of the Pacific. One night only, Saturday, January 18th, 6 to 10 p.m., all ages, family fun, with Vince Herman and Drew Emmett from Leftover Salmon, plus Island Grass and Malamapono All-Stars. Food, drinks, silent auction, and lots of bluegrass picking. More information, call KKCR at 826-7774. See you there.
And mahalo to those folks for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
Radio.
Hey, we got another call. Let's go back to the phones.
Hello, our caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box with Jave Giroux and Jonathan Jay.
So Don has left the building, huh?
Don is leaving the building as we speak.
She's replaced.
Okay. Yeah, it's really interesting hearing your guys' discussion on the what's called the Affordable Health Care Act, because it's anything but health care. But there's one thing that was mentioned earlier in the show, Dave, I don't know if you said it or perhaps Don, but insurance companies are not mandating that you have to have health care. The government does.
Right.
And
yeah, but who runs the government there, caller?
Yeah, right.
It's right now, it's at that time when it was passed, it was the Democratic Party.
Oh, au contraire, monsieur.
Okay. Contraire what?
Well, I think he disagrees with that, but what would your point?
Wait. I said the Democratic Party, but what I mean by that is when this thing went for a vote back on March 10th and 9th of 2010, both houses were controlled by the Republican Party. There wasn't one Republican who voted for it from the Senate. Nor is the House of Representatives that voted for the Health Care Act, because basically what it's doing, and I hear some alarming voices that it should be there, that what this is doing is giving 20% of our economy, and will creep into becoming even more, to the control of the government and Internal Revenue Service. It's mandated that you have to have insurance, and the insurance that you have, as we delve deeper into it, because Representative Pelosi from Berkeley, California, said that we have to sign it, pass it, find out what's in it.
Yeah, that's a kind of a weird philosophy, don't you think, caller?
Yeah. Four levels of health care. There's bronze, silver, gold, and platinum.
I want platinum.
All four policies are the same.
For bronze cost.
Okay. Jay and Dave, all four policies are exactly the same. There's no difference.
I like the color platinum, though. It makes me feel better about it.
Yeah, Jay, you know, try and be at least a little bit serious, because I'm really trying to be serious about this thing.
Okay, go ahead, Carl.
All four policies are exactly the same. The only difference is the deductible. What Don mentioned was very important. People who are of less household income pay less. Now, I don't think it really affects the deductible at all. But what happens is it's another redistribution of wealth. It's where people who earn more money have to pay to subsidize, you know, the bottom half of the economy. But what's going to happen is it's not going to turn out as the president said, where your insurance premiums will go down by $2,500. And, of course, as Don mentioned and Dave, I think you've joined in, they've gone up. And the deductible has increased. And we have, and the website does not have any glitches, nor does it have any, oh, what do they call that, glitches or little, you know, mishaps. The website wasn't even 60% completed at the time of November 1st of October 1st this past year.
Now, what do you think about that, caller? Do you think that's the right way to roll out a new program?
So it wasn't even completed, Jay. So what's happening, it's a whole, just a snooze job by the president and by the Democratic leadership, and now we have six Senate votes, or six senators who are on the hot seat for their term, and many people in the House of Representatives, and they're backing off this thing. And the only trouble with the only problem that President Obama's had with our the way we run our government constitutionally is things can only be voted in by Congress, and they can only be amended by Congress. But if you've noticed throughout this, the president has said, well, we'll just do this. Well, we'll let the people keep their health plans.
Yeah, we'll delay this.
You can't. It's against the law. You can't delay it for the mandate for businesses, which has been rolled back a year. And the reason why it has been, because if this thing hit the fan for businesses having to employ, enroll all their employees into this, I mean, the mess would have been extreme. For one thing, they can't get anybody in it because of the website. But the website isn't the problem. It's the health care itself, the so-called Health Care Act. And one last point, there's a difference between health care and health insurance.
Yeah, there sure is, isn't there?
Healthcare is where you can maintain your own doctor if you want, and that's the type of care that you get. What's going to happen is we're going to be forced into waiting lines, and you only get certain doctors. And if you guys really want to get to the bottom of this, bring some doctors from Wilcox on.
That's
bring
a good
doctors
idea.
In from Kaiser. I have not met one doctor, and I take people on tours all the time, and I run into people in the healthcare industry. More doctors are going to get out of this because they can't make any money. That's the reason why people aren't getting doctors are not being involved with Medicare, because Medicare doesn't pay them enough for the cost of goods that they're delivering, the service. And so this thing is going down a bad road. The president has flat out lied once again, whether it be Fast and Furious with Benghazi or whatever has been going on with this president. He's lied. You cannot keep your doctor. You cannot keep your health care insurance. And people are having to pay for health care. For example, I'm 59 years old. Well, you know, I doubt if I'm going to need maternity leave, but everybody pays for the same thing. All four levels are the exact same thing. The deductibles are the only difference.
Well, but, you know, for example, do you have any kids?
I have three.
Are they in school right now?
31, 33, and 35.
Okay, but you still pay taxes for the kids who go to school today, even though you don't have any kids in school.
Correct.
So that's part of the social contract.
Which I disagree with.
So, there you have it.
Jonathan, Jay, just think about this. If people, instead of having their income taken from them when they receive their paycheck, if they were billed by the government to literally write out a check for the cost of government, people would be up in arms for what we pay for government and so little that we get from it.
I think that I think you raise a really excellent point there, caller.
Well, you know who I am, John. It's Steve. So what happens is, like, for example, with my kids, I never did enroll them in public school here in Hawaii. I sent them to Clyde Christian Academy because I went to Kapaa school. I knew what it was about even in 70-72 when I graduated. So it's, you know, I paid out of my own pocket for education, even though I still had to pay for it through my taxes. But government running things does not make it better. The old adage, hi, I'm with the government, I'm here to help you. It's a joke.
Well, you're not finding any apologists for Mr. Obama over here. Okay, so
yeah, I'm looking around the room and I don't see anybody.
We voted him in 2008.
Hey, I didn't vote for him in 2008 and I didn't vote for him in 2012.
Yeah. Right.
And I imagine that's true for you as well, caller.
The midterms are coming up. We need to get rid of Funabusa. We need to get rid of what's her name? She fought the Iraq War, I think.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, we need to get rid of her. We need to get rid of Brian Schatz. We need to get rid of the other U.S. senator.
So basically, you need
to have people who have conservative thought, less government, more control to the private industry.
So, caller, then you don't like Obamacare. Do you think that the healthcare system in this country is fine and didn't need any adjustment, or do you think that there was something else that could have been done to improve it?
Well, healthcare, what we had to what we're going into, I would rather have what we have, but no, it could be made better. The way that you bring down the cost of healthcare. And it's because of government that we have higher health care is because you can only have so many health care companies in each state. It's regionalized.
Is that right?
There's no competition. Yeah. If you call up, for example, you'll hear something advertised, a mortgage or term and life insurance, and you call up the 800 number and say, oh, we can't do business in Hawaii.
Why not?
It's government bureaucracy has mandated only certain companies can handle health care. And this is when the president says the Republicans haven't brought forth any ideas, they have. They've submitted them right after left. The president doesn't want to hear them. If you open up, just like you can buy a Toyota here or you can buy it in Maine, then you'll have competition amongst companies. And the more competitive it is, it's just like airlines. If we only had one airline, which is basically what we do, Inter Island, Hawaiian, but Go isn't very well. But when you have more competition, what happens is it brings down the cost and increases the better service because people are buying for your what? Your dollar. And that's the way that you bring the cost of government down is by getting the government the hell out of it, for one thing. But you've got to open it up across state lines. Insurance is not open across state lines.
So you're saying that more competition is the solution to the high health care problem costs?
Well, let me ask you this. How many people shop at Costco and Walmart?
Like an actual number or a relative number?
Well, I mean, would you say the majority of people buy gasoline at Costco? If they had a choice of paying 50 cents a gallon or paying 50 cents a gallon less, where do you think they're going to go?
Well, it depends if you want to have an annual subscription to Costco membership.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you can add and subtract, you can figure it out. It's just like when Costco opened up in October so many years ago. Shell gasoline station, which had one of the lowest prices on the island, Wailua, all of a sudden went down 25 cents a gallon. Why?
I'm thinking you're going to say competition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what it makes everything work. I mean, you guys don't go out and find the highest gasoline you could buy, do you? Are you going to paint your house? You look for the guy who charges you the most and buy the most expensive paint? You don't.
Well, there's not that many choices on this island, so I just go to the one that is on the side of the road when I need it.
So that's what's happening.
I'm not going to drive 20 miles to get 5 cents less,
okay.
I guess.
But anyway, that's what's happening with health care versus health insurance. It's not health care. It's mandated health insurance, which is unconstitutional, so they had to make it a tax to make it legal.
And caller, I want to ask you, what do you think of the mandate? What do you think of mandating?
Government mandates?
Yeah, or any kind of mandating for that matter.
Well, it depends. But the only thing that the government really should be involved with is the security of our shores. They shouldn't be involved with schools. They shouldn't be involved with health care. Because the state of Hawaii spends more money, 20 grand a year per student for public education. Here in the state of Hawaii, and they think. You ever heard the phrase the president said, "We need to invest more in education"?
Sure, it sounds good.
It sounds good, but what they're saying, we need to tax people more. Throwing money at a situation doesn't make it any better.
Well, caller, we've got another caller standing by. Is there a last point you'd like to make, or kind of sum up what you said?
Yeah, I think when it comes to the midterm elections that are coming up in November of this year, vote for the people who are against this health care act and vote for conservative people who believe in less government.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in and sharing your views.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks.
Aloha. And we've got another caller who's been standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Dr. Laura Presley. How are you?
A doctor, then. We put the call out, and there you are.
Did you have a comment about health care that you wanted to make?
Well, I was going to make some comments about some smart meters. Is that an appropriate topic for right now, or should I?
It's your call, caller. You can make the call.
You made the call, but
good.
The other caller was saying, we need to talk to doctors at Wilcox and find out what they think about Obamacare, and you'll find out.
We've been discussing the ACA, the Affordable Care Act.
Okay. Well, I really don't have an opinion on the Affordable Care Act right now, but if I could talk about the health issues of smart meters, that'd be fine. Even Obamacare doesn't deal with the health issues, because a lot of doctors are not educated on these health effects of the smart meters that are being put on our homes. One of the things that with regard to these smart meters, they are wireless. And so they pulse this huge amount of wireless radiation. Smart meters that are made across the country are putting out megahertz of about 900 megahertz.
That's the frequency that they're transmitting on?
Yes. There's two frequencies they transmit. It's about 900 megahertz, which is about what your cell phone uses. But then there's a second frequency, which is 2.4 gigahertz, which is the same frequency that your microwave oven uses to cook your food.
Is that also the Wi-Fi router?
The Wi-Fi routers, it depends, because there are different wavelengths that these things put out and different power densities that they put out. But the smart meters, interestingly, put out these two wavelengths. And, you know, there really are no health studies out there proving that these smart meters on the outside of our homes are healthy. And I'll give you a personal story here of myself and my husband. We had a smart meter on our home, and the smart meter was facing our bedroom. My husband and I, we would be laying in bed. He would go to sleep first, and I would be reading or something like that. And I would notice that his body would twitch. He would kind of jerk. His leg would twitch. And he would notice when I would go to sleep first and he was reading a book or whatever, I would twitch. And we're both engineers. My PhD is in chemistry and physics.
Oh, so you're not an actual doctor?
No, I'm not a physician.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
Good question. I have a PhD in chemistry and physics, and I worked in the semiconductor industry for 17 years, actually making similar devices that are in these smart meters. Anyway, so we're laying there in bed, and we're twitching, and my husband starts counting the seconds between the twitches, and it's 25 seconds. And we were like, that was funny. Why is this happening to our body on a very periodic time frame? And that time frame is not anything that's a biological process. So we started looking around our home for what electrically is stimulating our bodies to jerk like this. We looked forever, and we ended up borrowing a meter, an analyzer that measures these microwave and wireless radiation signals. And we were absolutely shocked. When we measured our smart meter, it was pulsing every 25 seconds. It
wow.
was just no kidding. And we're both engineers, and you know, we called the electric company. We said, you know, basically get out here and figure out what is going on, because this seems very odd, and maybe this thing's malfunctioning. It shouldn't be pulsing every 25 flipping seconds. So the electric company came out, and as a test, they turned off the radio emitter of the device, and our twitching stopped.
Hmm.
And from an engineering root cause standpoint, that is a root cause analysis in characterization.
What does that mean, root cause analysis?
Root cause. Well, when you're seeing a manifestation of an electrical pulse in someone's body every 25 seconds, and you go and find the electrical device that is pulsing at that same time frame, that, and from an engineering standpoint, you go, that's a root cause. You've now identified the root cause of the twitching because of the time frame and the fingerprint of the time gap.
Hmm,
and so there was nothing else in our home that was pulsing every 25 seconds, and we looked at a lot of different things, and this thing was it. And I'll tell you what, the healthcare system does not understand the health implications of this pulsing.
Now, why is that? Because I hear a lot of people kind of go back and forth about this, and some people say, hey, we have these concerns about our health, and then other people say, oh, that's not grounded in science. So I'm not a gigahertz scientist. How is someone who doesn't He doesn't. How are you supposed to understand all this stuff? Because some people say, oh, it's a problem. Some people don't. And then they argue science at each other, and I can hardly understand any of it.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, what I do is kind of pull on what people and what our own intuition tells us. You know, let me ask a couple questions. Would people want to sleep next to their phone while it is pulsing? Okay? I don't think people would want to do that. People have been told for ages, decades, back to the 70s when I guess, microwave ovens first hit the scene, they told us do not stand in front of a microwave oven.
Yeah, my mom told me under no circumstances should I ever put my head in the microwave oven and then turn it on. And I followed her advice.
Well, that yes, of course. You know, you don't do that. But we were told, I remember...
I wanted to.
Yeah, as bad as it gets. Most people, you know, were told... Especially when microwaves very first came out in the 70s, I was a teenager in the 70s, and I remember very carefully that people would say, do not stand in front of your microwave. Well, interestingly, we took this radiation meter, put it in front of our microwave as it was running with the door closed, right? And the power density of that microwave oven is similar to the power density that's coming out of these smart meters. So just intuition says, you know what? My God, this thing should not be on my house, near my bedroom, pulsing every 25 seconds.
Now, does it matter if they're on similar or slightly different frequencies?
Well, the thing about it is the RF and the microwave, think about what your microwave does. It heats water.
Right, and the reason, my understanding of why it does that is because the wavelength of inside the microwave that it's beaming into your food is the same length of a water molecule, and so they create a sympathetic vibration in each other, and it actually heats the water molecules inside your food, heats them up. That's what I understand.
You're exactly correct. So when these smart meters are going off, they are also exciting the water molecules in our body, and the consequences are inflammation and swelling. And then there are many symptoms that correspond to that. My husband and I both were having headaches. We were both having, I was having severe chest pains, didn't know what the reason was for it. The bottom line is that these wavelengths heat water, and they cause inflammation. And there is a new report that has come out by the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. It came out in October of 2013. This report is really, really damning to the smart meter industry, and it calls for a moratorium on smart meters. It says that health professionals need to be aware of the health issues that these things cause, and it also it calls for more research and a moratorium on these smart meters, and some technology that is a lot more safe than what we have today.
So, caller, did you get rid of your smart meter then?
Yes, we did.
All right, what do you feel about paying $10 a month to not have one?
That is a very good question, and I have a fundamental disagreement with the opt-out fees. And the reason is, why should I pay money for something that causes me to hurt? And why should I pay someone to not hurt me?
That's kind of extortion.
It is extortion, and that is a severe word, but it's actually very accurate in this case. There, you know, why should I have to pay extra money? And then you consider families that are low-income families or families who are trying to make ends meet, and they may not be able to afford this. And yeah, you say, okay, $10 a month is not that much money, but it is for somebody, a single parent or a family that's struggling with you know, a job issue or whatever. These fees do matter, and it's a discrimination, too, for lower-income families that cannot afford this. So it's wrong all across the board. These things cause health issues. You have, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, who has been, I'll tell you what, you have to really take your hat off to these guys. You know, there's a list, there's this report that they did, and, you know, there's many doctors on that list as long as my arm, and the American Academy of Environmental Medicine has always come under fire by places like the chemical industry, et cetera, and they're used to getting, you know, people say, you know, opposite to what the medical research that they've looked at and the conclusions that they come to. So they're pretty brave to come out with this, and I all I can say is how much we appreciate what they've done. But you can Google this if you want to. It's the American
Academy. Yeah, I'm definitely going to look that up. But we have another caller we need to move on to, but this is an incredible story. I'm really interested in finding out more about this.
So why should people have to pay to opt out to not Twitch? Okay, this is ridiculous.
Because the utility has been saying all along these things are safe. There's no known health risks associated with them. And I don't know if they're going to say, oh, what's a little twitching now? That's not a problem. But that is their basic argument is that this is completely safe technology. We're not going to give you a credit on it because you think it's dangerous for you.
That's just not accurate from a science standpoint and from a health standpoint.
Right. Well, thank you very much for your call, then.
Well, thank you for listening.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, thank you for your call, caller.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Caller, thank you for being very patient there. That was a very interesting call.
Yes, it was.
So we had to make you wait a little longer.
I enjoyed the lady's comments. I, too, have been Googling all these different subjects from electromagnetic radiation, smart meters. And I think the debate basically hinges, if you really get down to it, in terms of it's either ionizing radiation or non-ionizing radiation.
Now, I don't really understand
well,
that.
The point is...
What is ionizing radiation?
Well, I'm not a physicist, and I don't want to speak. That's not why I called.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to say that is a general context. And so there's not a lot of, scientific comments saying that, it's resolved in any way. But basically, I do know that when microwaves were introduced into Russia, they were quickly outlawed. They called them radiation ovens, which they are. And I do know that the microwave oven changes the water molecule up to a million times a second, plus minus.
Yeah, it vibrates it.
Yeah, and so the thing is, basically it destroys the nutritional value of your food. I've never owned a microwave oven. I've never owned a cell phone. I just got rid of my answering machine. Now I'm calling you guys on just an old princess kind of phone.
Phone?
So if the Pope calls me or whoever, I guess I will miss the message.
Hold on a second there, caller. This is very interesting to me.
Yes, sir?
What exactly is a princess
phone? Well, I mean the old style phone. No, a non-answering machine because... Basically, they're saying that it's not just the smart meter, but it's also many people have characterized the radiation from your, like I had a Panasonic answering machine phone, and it supposedly put out more harmful microwaves than even a cell phone. So the whole thing is, I said, well, I'm getting rid of it, and then my Apple computer died after 9 years, so I just go to the library, and since I was addicted to the internet anyway, I just limit my radiation to about 3 to 5 hours a week, and I try to avoid the Wi-Fi areas. But basically, I just want to make three brief comments to your call. I think it was Mr. Stephen who was calling representing a conservative point of view. I want to say we should have gone, if Obama had any you-know-what, any chutzpah, he should have gone for the single-payer option. And that, of course, I guess that's not politically possible, but that's what they have in Europe. And the reason why, it's much more affordable in Europe and why it works in all these countries, you might say, well, it's socialized medicine. But the thing is, the administrative costs...
That's what I'm waiting for.
The administrative costs are about... I think they're around 3%. It's like it's just like Medicare and Social Security. They work on a very, very low profile administrative cost, and that's why they're able to sustain themselves. But of course, I guess it wasn't politically possible, gentlemen, for them to go for the single payer option. But if they ever do this, this is the way to go because
what is single payer?
Single payer just means that everybody from like birth until death, is pays the same thing, is covered under the same medical plan. And see, the real bugaboo in all these things is not so much private versus public. It has to do with the administrative costs. It's just more complicated, the way they have it structured now. But they felt they couldn't get around with the single payer option.
Well, the powers that be certainly were not interested in that in any way, shape, or form.
But see, that's the way to go because then that would solve a myriad of problems. But I would like to really cut to the chase and say we should really go back to the original Chinese model, which is that when you are healthy, you pay the doctor.
Now,
when you're
not healthy,
you don't pay them.
Now, explain to people why it works, because that sounds very counterintuitive to Americans
today.
Well,
I mean, just
today.
Like Mr. The conservative caller, Mr. Stephen, was saying, you know, it's all about responsibility and competition. Well, how much more competition is there when, hey, doc, I'm sick, I ain't paying you until I get better. And so I my own health.
So you're saying then the doctor
has an incentive to make you well.
Yeah, his job changes. It's not to treat you while you're sick. It's to maintain your healthiness.
It's like 10 years ago. I'm about 68. 10 years ago, I weighed 240, 250. Today, I weigh about 150. I don't take any pharmaceutical drugs. I spend most of my discretionary income on Chinese herbs, Japanese mushrooms. That's the number one cure for cancer in Japan. Middle Eastern, remedies. And, of course, I'm really into the Ayurvedic, which is the Indian. These countries have only been around for thousands of years. I guess they don't know jack, right?
Sure. What do they know?
Yeah, of course. So the point is, and I would think that, if you just look into the fact that, most of the doctors I know, to agree with Stephen, the conservative gentleman, that, they agree, well, this ain't gonna work. The main thing is you have to take responsibility for your own health. I mean, I don't need a new car. I don't have a car. I have a small TV. I don't even have a computer. I don't need these little, these things are great, yeah, but the point is I need my health, and I feel better than I did when I was 18. I have tremendous energy. I can't tell you. I mean, don't get me talk about health, because I'll be speaking for a zillion hours. But I just wanted to say that basically the smart meter, and I'm tired of wondering Jonathan, well, what's up with it? Even though I got rid of all these possible no router, the answering machine. But the thing is, so I'm gonna have a lady. I'm gonna pay my own bucks, have her come out and give me a reading. See? And then I will know, well, how much am I being fried? Because, as I understand, the wiring system within one's living space basically turns into an antenna for these different types of microwave radiation. And they're not just beamed a few times a day. There's thousands of times a day you're being fried.
Yeah, and that's not what they said at first. KIUC said, a couple of times a day it sends a message and we get your reading off of that.
But that's not true at all.
That's not the case at all.
And I would suggest anybody...
Yeah, and it's very curious to me, because that should be a simple matter of fact. It either does or it doesn't go off thousands of times a day.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is I've read the debate on all sides, and... I'm just going to have the lady pay my own bucks, even though I'm a lower-income senior citizen and I live very simply. I'm going to pay my own money, and I keep my electric bill $42 a month, okay?
Do you have a smart meter on your house?
Well, I live in a low-income apartment complex, and luckily I live on the other end of where the gentleman on the end of our apartment, there's six units within a unit, and he has six. Some lucky person has six smart meters on the side of their apartment. And these people are even older than I am, so I'm going to try to encourage them also to get a reading. But the thing is, I just feel that if a person just go Google it and look at the arguments on all sides of the issue, and you will. I think I found that the greatest help, of course, critical in terms of against the smart meters, on these homeopathic websites, and of course the environmental websites. And of course, some people say, well, you could use crystals, and I'm not against that form of protection, but I just want to first of all see how much the old body is being fried.
Right.
Do you know when the results of that election is going to be in?
Yeah, the special election KIUC is having right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ballots are due by January 25th, and they should be announcing at noon. That's when they're due before noon. And they should be announcing the results within several hours after that. So I would think by 4 or 5 o'clock on that Saturday they should have the answer.
In my own case, I get $877 a month now. And, I just, I don't buy any clothes. I don't have a car. I live very frugally. And I said, I spend three quarters of my money on health, which, see, none of this stuff is covered by Medicare, Medicaid. I pay that on my own pocket because, I just don't trust. See, the thing is, over a century ago, they figured they could synthesize out of the organic models, out of the natural models, out of petroleum. And so most of the drugs that you take today are made from petroleum. They're synthesized from the organic model, and they use petroleum as a base. And so basically, when you take these prescription drugs, they just manipulate your symptoms. You ain't any healthier at the cellular level.
Right.
And so I just feel that once you just start asking, the best methodology, of course, is just to start asking the questions. And I want to say thank you, gentlemen, for all your many years of service. And I like to think of you guys in your format as, like Socrates says, he characterized himself as like a big old horsefly that, like, his whole function was to bite the rump of society.
And so you think of Dave and myself as horseflies.
No, horseflies, well, on a rump of...
No, you're helping all us fellow horseflies to bite the sacred rump of the sacred horses, sacred cows of our lovely isle.
Okay, well, that's a great closing, Mark. Then thank you very much for your call.
Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, aloha, caller. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
So we're horseflies now, Dave.
Yeah, on some rump. But a couple of things then. You asked the question about ionizing radiation. And
yes.
That's something I can clear up here.
Oh, okay. What is ionizing radiation?
Ionizing radiation is something that is strong enough to create ions, from molecules.
So what does that mean?
So you have a molecule like water, for example.
Okay.
And then if you hit it with enough energy, you can separate the water into hydrogen and oxygen.
Is that
OH.
Deionizing it?
Well, that is, no, that is creating ions, because you got a positive ion and a negative ion. When they're together, there's no net charge there. It's but when you separate them, you've created ions.
So what are you separating?
Well, you're usually kicking off electrons off a molecule.
Ah, okay.
And
so it's the electron cloud, and one of them gets bumped out?
Yeah, it gets knocked out. So
okay.
It's enough energy to knock an electron off a molecule. And so usually we're talking about, nuclear radiation, alpha and beta
and gamma.
Gamma radiation, though,
right.
Or electromagnetic radiation. Light is electromagnetic
sure.
radiation, but it's not of enough of a power to knock off electrons or to cause ions.
So, but that doesn't mean that you can't lie out in the tropical sun all day long, because you're gonna get some ions knocked out of you. That's
ultraviolet,
for sure.
Yeah, that's not in the visible range though. So like ultraviolet is ionizing because it is strong enough. It's the wavelengths are short enough to create carry a lot of power.
So it's not what you see that's making you get a sunburn. It's what you can't see.
That's correct. Yeah.
Invisible agents acting upon our bodies. How mysterious.
Right. Yeah. So microwave radiation is ionizing.
Hmm.
It can ionize molecules within your body, and ions aren't good. They cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Like antioxidants. You take antioxidants that takes ions out of your body, and so things that oxidize within your body create ions. So things like so if you're exposed to ionizing radiation, you take antioxidants to remove them.
And what would an antioxidant be?
Certain chemicals,
like vitamin C, is that an
some
antioxidant?
Vitamins are antioxidants, yeah.
Okay. Green tea, is that an antioxidant?
Green tea contains antioxidants. Aloe vera contains antioxidants. So these are all things that you can use to reduce the oxidant, the ion levels in your body, So,
how do you know if you need to do that or not?
I'm not sure. There might be some tests you can take, but, certain exposures can create them, and then these take them out.
Hmm.
So just a little physics lesson there for our listeners and for you.
Well, thank you, Professor Dave.
We need to get those PhD engineers back on here, too. They could clear it up in a second here. Anyway, so we got about 20 minutes left in the show. Hey, I've got something that I want to talk about real quick. I want to change the topic here real quick. I want to introduce my new project here. This is something that I'm working on. I have a... I have a book in my hand.
My New Project by Dave. And like, let me read it here. It says Blueprint for a New World by Dave Giroux.
Yeah. And this is right now.
Is it blue?
Right now.
Oh, Dave.
It's empty.
Dave, come on.
Right
you got
now,
me all excited.
Right
and now
this book
your,
is empty,
your
but,
book has nothing but blank pages
right,
in it.
Right. But over the next year, I'll be writing this book based on information that we learn on this show here.
Okay.
And so what it is so right now we have a discussion. Everybody's talking about all the problems in the world, okay? We have, you know, poverty. We have disease. We have, you know, the global elite running the place. We have wars.
Well, those aren't problems. Those are economic opportunities, Dave.
but the thing is that, you know, and we're attacking them on all fronts whenever we're confronted by them. But the thing is nobody really has a vision of where we need to go. What does it look like if we got rid of all the problems in the world? What would the world look like? Okay, how do we know? How do we know when we get there? Okay, okay.
So
what is the world supposed to? What can it be? What can civilization be on this? I mean, what it would be like if we had a perfect world where everybody had everything they needed and we had a beautiful environment? You know?
I think there would be a very low premium.
On healthcare.
On healthcare, yeah, and yeah, a very yeah. low deductible.
Here's a quote then from this guy, Paul Hellyer. He was a defense minister of Canada. He says the Earth.
Canada doesn't have a defense system, Dave. Come on.
Yeah, well, it's just an offshoot of our own here.
Okay.
The Earth can be a paradise planet, a model for this sector of the galaxy. Clean water, clean air, clean oceans, free energy, abundant wildlife, health and education for every human being.
So, I mean, so your book is not exactly blank then, Dave.
I guess there is one quote in there anyway.
Well, that sounds pretty nice.
But, yeah, that's a beautiful place, you know. And, you know, there used to be a show on this station here by a gentleman, Triaca, who was always talking about how to create heaven on Earth.
Sure, and a universal galactic harmony.
Yeah, and so we want to create a paradise here. We want it to be a paradise for everybody. You know, I mean, the rich people are already in paradise. They got everything they need. If they need something, they buy it. You know, if something breaks, they buy it. You know, it's a paradise for them, but for 6 billion other people on the planet, you know, it could be either hell or somewhere in between. But nobody really has a sense of what would it look like. What would a perfect place look like? What can a beautiful planet look like? What would it
not getting all effed up by people all the time?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we know we have problems here, and we're trying to solve some of them. But what is the goal? And this is something that I think we're missing in the dialogue. Is you know, we can have some solutions, but we also need a goal. You know, what is attainable? What can we achieve? You know, would it be some, you know, I read a book, for example, called Walden 2 by B.F. Skinner.
B.F. Skinner. I always wondered, what did the B and the F stand for?
I'm not even sure. But, you know, he was a behavioral engineer, and he created this society. He wrote a book called Walden 2, where he described a utopian society, and he was taking somebody on a tour through that, and he went through all the different systems. You know, everybody in this society had everything they needed, and all they had to do to get everything they needed was to work 24 hours a week. Okay, and now, you know, most people
I thought
are going to
say 24 hours a day.
24 hours a week. Okay, and you can do it. You can work whatever you want, but you know, society needed, you know, somebody to grow the food, somebody to take care of the children, somebody, you know, teachers, and you know, somebody to take care of the waste. So, you know, if you wanted to be, you know, the garbage collector, you know, you go for 24 hours a week. You would collect the trash, and then your health care, your housing, your energy, you know, everything is provided to you if you just, you know, work that small amount, you know. And so now people are working, you know, 40, 60, 80 hours a week and barely able to make it, you know. And so this is a way that, you know, so this system was designed to, you know, with a very modest amount of effort, you work and everything else is provided for you. So, you know, that kind of sounds nice to me, you know, but it may not be the way everybody would like to. And, you know, does it spur creativity, you know, and innovation in humans? Or would society stagnate? I don't know. So, you know, we need to develop what, you know, in our mind, what is the goal? how do we want the world to be?
Well, I'll tell you,
then we can kind of create the steps on what it takes to get there.
I tell you one thing, we're going to have a very hard time getting somewhere if we don't have an idea of where that is.
That's
or,
right,
or
yeah.
the steps that it will take to get there.
Right.
And
so
that might be part of what the problem is.
And I think that's what's kind of missing in this discussion here. I mean, we think, how are we going to solve this little problem here? How are we going to solve that little problem? But that's not getting us anywhere because they keep popping up. You know, whack-a-mole. You know, if one pops up, you knock it down, another one comes up. So
sure, it's not looking at the big picture.
Right. And so, you know, that's what my project is to look at a number of different things, transportation, you know, the economy, the environment. I mean, John Lennon's song, Imagine. You know, imagine no countries. Imagine no.
It's not hard to do.
Imagine no possessions. You know, these are things that, you know, we need to think about. Maybe that's the way to go, you know, where nobody owns land, for example. Land and resources are owned by everybody, and nobody has a monopoly on them. Nobody has control of them, but everybody has access to them.
Well, that's certainly antithetical to what we've got set up right now.
Right, yeah. And, you know, maybe my ideas are not the right ones, but, you know, somehow we need to create the idea, the goal, you know, and think of, then we can decide how to get there. So that is my goal. So throughout this year, as I'm doing my research, as we're having these discussions on the air, we'll be making these notes, and you know, if callers call in and said, hey, I've got an idea for you, you know, we'll record it, and it'll go in the book. Maybe I'll post it on Facebook. Maybe we'll...
Well, guess what, Dave?
What's that?
We already have two callers who are standing by right now, and they may have ideas for your book.
Okay, there we go. Well, let's go to the phones then.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box with Dave Giroux and Jonathan Jay, and welcome to – you're the first caller who can call in on Dave's Blueprint for a New World.
Right. Yeah, no, the blueprint sounds good, and if we really look at the situation – one obvious goal would be sustainability. Well, for about the first 200,000 years of Homo sapiens, we were sustainable. And, you know, that was also, we were also living within our genetic habitat, which is nature, and we were living our genetic lifestyle.
Dave is writing down sustainability as we speak.
The book is no longer empty.
And we obviously have been burning the bridges, getting back to nature. We've actually been sawing off the branch that we've been sitting on.
Sure.
As far as becoming hunter-gatherers anymore. However,
sure. And logging it off and selling it as board feet.
Right. One thing that was mentioned was that the wealthy are happy. I don't actually think so. I think that the wealthy in general are a very insecure bunch. They have a huge amount of stuff, and that requires a huge amount of maintenance, and they're always insecure about people mooching off their
stuff.
Wealth. Yeah, so, you know, it's not necessarily wealth, and it's not even necessarily having a great abundance of energy. Energy equals change. So if we have lots of energy, we're going to probably continue to change. And generally, change means destruction of the environment. So I think we really, really need to look at our goals and our mission. But I think we're on the right track in terms of, yeah, let's see what we can do in terms of creating a sustainable world. And I think that B.F. Skinner was pretty far off track.
Far off track or on track?
Off track.
Okay.
Yeah. I did when I was in college about 150 years ago, I did a study on utopias in general because my parents had started a utopian community which lasted about a year and a half or so, and then one group stole a lot of stuff from the other group, and that was pretty much the end of it.
Well, that's not very utopian.
No, not very utopian. The location was absolutely beautiful, and that's because of nature. It was up in the Himalayan mountains. So anyway,
That's my two bits, and I'll gladly weigh in whenever you guys are ready.
Right, yeah, and you've been on the show before, and you had some great ideas then. And I agree with you about the wealthy not being particularly happy.
Right.
But you know, my point was that they feel that system is working for them. And so it's like, why change things? It's working for me. You know, they may not be happy. But, you know, happiness is...
They may not be happy, yeah. But I'm told it's working for me. So
yeah.
Don't change anything.
But I'm making lots of money on it anyway. But, you know, in talking about the Himalayas, you know, Bhutan was the example brought up about how to quantify the results of these efforts anyway in their happiness index, where you you ask people, you know, are you happy, you know, and happiness, you know, would include a lot of things. You know, you have good health, you know, you're good education, you know, is your house comfortable, you know, you have a lot of friends, those sort of things. And so, you know, happiness is, you know, different for everybody, but it, you know, it can be quantified to some extent. But that's something we've overlooked, and we don't do that in this country.
Yeah, we have a gross national product, not a...
And that's what we measure
gross national happiness.
Right.
And even the idea of a house is questionable. You know, we think that we need houses, but actually houses separate us from the... We talk about the outdoors, you know. We want to talk about nature, and we talk about the outdoors. We've only been living... incubated in houses for, you know, a few thousand years.
Well, I tell you, with some of the weather they've been having in the Midwest recently, I bet you they're mighty glad they're inside.
Oh, absolutely.
Until they get their energy bill.
We didn't used to habitate all the entire globe. We used to habitate temperate climates, like Kauai, for instance. You know, you can live in Kauai perfectly happily without a house, which I do, by the way.
Right.
So, you know, this we need to really, really seriously think about it and really think about, are houses even sustainable? You know, what does it take to run a house, or what does it take to build a house? And if you look at what happened after Hurricane Iniki, we had about $2 billion worth of damage, and we spent... at least another $200 or $300 billion fixing up our little quote habitats at the destruction of a tremendous destruction of forests all over the world. You know, because all
for the wood and stuff
imported,
sure,
and at a huge energy cost. But what was nature doing in the meantime? Well, it was effortlessly regrowing itself. The hurricane was an opportunity for all the kukui nuts and all the other things that needed to grow that didn't have enough light. But then after the hurricane, where all the leaves had been stripped off, these things grew. And I watched them as I was hiking the Napali Trail. I saw all this incredible growth that happened as a result of the hurricane. We do everything effortfully. Nature does everything effortlessly. So one of the suggestions would be, let's see how effortless we can become.
Well, I think you raised some excellent points, caller.
Okay.
Hey,
I'll get off and let some other... Is there anybody else?
Yeah, you got someone standing by.
You, okay. So, but thank you very much for the call.
Aloha.
Aloha, caller. Thank you so much for those observations.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, yes. I think he had some excellent observations as well. Somehow it seems that nobody else read the front page of the Star Advertiser the day I did, when they printed the article that said that by 2050, not 2150 or anything like that, but 2050.
So hold on, that's like 26 years away?
Yeah.
Okay. 36 years away, okay.
I will be gone, but my kids will still be around, and their kids, maybe. The point of the article was that without any change at the economic summit, or the ecological summit, which they were having at the time, and it didn't change anything as far as I know, the temperature in Kingston, Jamaica in 2050 would be 150 degrees Fahrenheit on a daily basis, on an average.
Where?
Kingston, Jamaica.
So by 2050, global warming will have caused the temperature
That's
in Jamaica
to... The article was done.
Oh,
Nobody
really?
Else seems to have read it. I read the whole thing.
Maybe you had a very special edition that was only for you.
Well, maybe I did, but they're at, 18 degrees latitude or so. We're at 22.
22, yeah.
And Bangkok, Thailand is at 14. So, you know, if it's really going to expand that fast, if the heating is going to go that fast, we're already past any solution.
Right, yeah.
Well, other than we should
and
all
that
just...
That bothers me.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we going to do? Stop the cows from farting? Or, you know, you just... You can't bring civilization to a crashing halt.
Well, maybe you can.
It's kind of hard to get people to...
We should have a long time ago.
It's kind of hard to get people to sign on to this global warming theory with the weather going in the...
I know.
Yeah, of course, we're talking about weather versus climate, but still, you know, the deniers are getting a lot of fodder for their...
I saw an article today that said some people were really glad to see a normal winter come back in the Midwest.
Yeah.
They've been having these horrible warm winters.
Yeah. Right. Okay, we got to move on. We got time for another call.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. If anybody can prove or disprove that one, I'd love to hear what's going on with that amount. You know, if that's 2 degrees a year or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
Nobody's going to want to live in the tropics at 150 degrees per day.
Yeah, that's a little too warm. Yeah,
and it's going to be too warm here too. So we'll all either be living in solar powered
igloos,
air conditioned places, or maybe under the ocean in solar powered air conditioned something or other. But I think that still implies a huge die off.
Yeah. Okay. We got to move on, but thanks for calling.
Yes, we do.
Aloha, caller.
All right.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thanks for standing by so patiently. Welcome to Out of the Box.
It didn't take much patience. Thank you very much. I like Arius' point about living effortlessly, but to live effortlessly takes a lot of work, a lot of
yeah, that's true.
Planning and doing things right the first time and not having to go redo them over and over again. It's like,
yeah, you got to make a lot of right guesses.
What I'm thinking of is all the road repair that's done because the island is melting down into what should be swales along the road that allows the water to get well off the road so it's not sitting under the road and making it soft as you drive over it. And if we would set up the roads properly in the first place with proper drainage, master plan the entire island for contours. And the point I'm trying to get to is we need to, I'm not going to tell you what we need to do, but I guess I am kind of, but...
Well, why not? I mean, it's your call, caller. Please enlighten us.
Here's your chance.
Yeah, this is your big opportunity.
Thank you. Well, you should be living on level land. Everybody should live on level land. And the contours should be figured out, and all the rocks that God put all over the place for us should be gathered into meaningful... soil island retaining walls that prevent every rain episode from becoming a disaster for the reefs and our roads and our lives generally, and then all the compost that we effort to put onto the land to improve the soil doesn't get blown, well, it can get blown away, but it doesn't get washed away because we've built these retaining walls everywhere where we live and the roads transect these walls, and to me that's utopia.
You know, how you describe that with retaining walls everywhere and lots of good soil, that sounds a lot like how things used to be here when the Polynesians were running the place.
Yeah, yeah. Either that or native forest. You know, the tree can do a good job of holding the soil on slopes, but other than that, you got to level it. You just, you know, grass doesn't do a good job of holding slopes. And I think we'd solve a lot of problems if we considered this a primary issue.
Well, thank you very much, caller, for calling in with
okay.
that perspective.
Thank you for your show.
Aloha,
gentlemen.
Aloha.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the next and last caller for the show. We're just about the end of the show here. And we're coming up time for Acoustic Luau with Marin.
Yeah, stick around for that. She's out here picking up music right now. It's going to be a good show, I can tell.
Okay, last call. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. You know, obviously you have to respect other people's space, you know, and, you know, a certain amount of privacy is entitled to each person. But Woody Guthrie wrote, you know, that this land is your land, this land is my land. There is a part in it. I don't know whether they left it out or deleted it, but there is a no trespassing sign. But on the back of the sign, it was just blank. No, just blank paper, right? And he goes, this side's for you and me.
Right. I think they did leave that out.
They left it out because
the official version.
It was too politically, you know.
What is that? You and Dave seem to understand this, but this is new
I've
to me.
I've heard that story.
What does it mean?
Private property versus huge landowners versus people who don't have any place to sleep, you know. Private property is a huge issue. You know, versus, you know, government-owned property like the federal United States or the islands of Hawaii. There's only so much room for so X amount of people, you know. How do you divide things up?
Yeah, well, it kind of depends on how you define property ownership. Sometimes it means you can deny it to other people. You know, ownership as the power of denial.
You go to war for it, you know. But, you know, that's part of the equation, you know, is... How does everybody have a little piece of the pie? And thanks for the show. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, caller.
Okay, that's all the time we have right now, but that was a great show, and thanks for all the calls. And Jonathan, Happy New Year, and good to see you back here.
Hey, thank you. I want to say real quick that if you don't have any plans for the next 2 hours, starting right now in Kapa'a, they're going to be having a district meeting about districts, about dividing the island into different zones and then having people vote on that for the county council. And I'm going to head my way over there and drop off a map so folks can see a little bit what that might look like.
Also, Marshall Tucker Band playing this evening.
Oh, yeah. Doors are opening right now. So, yeah.
All right. Well, see you back here in 2 weeks. Aloha.
Aloha and ahui ho.